Okay, and welcome. Good morning to the Oat Health Heart Health Podcast. My name is Joe, and I'm joined this morning by Kathy. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Joe.
Kathy's our resident recipe guru and one of the experts in nutrition around here, and so we're glad to have her back again for the episode number 18, October 7th, 2009 show. Once again, for any show notes and support material for everything discussed in today's episode, please visit www.oathealth.com/blog/podcast. And for today's show, we're going to go a little bit over last week's challenge, which was about finding some information about smoking, really getting a little more in-depth, and maybe for some people that are out there giving another try at it, to try to really buck the smoking giant that's on their back. So today's main topic, we're going to talk about sugar. We're going to go a little more into what sugar is all about and what we should be looking for and what we should be looking to avoid. And then we'll go into our weekly health challenge for this week, which I think will really bring some insight into people. It'll really be kind of a shocker when we really get into looking at this sugar issue and how much we're actually consuming each day. So let's go ahead and get started today with today's podcast. All right, and we're back. All right, so let's take a look. Last week, talked about smoking. I'm not a big fan of covering issues that are like overdone and issues that are kind of like overwhelming to continue to think about because we've heard about it so many times. Mm-hmm. But this is one that across the board, we talk about heart health, we talk about general health, you name it. Smoking is, it's no good across the board. So lots of deaths per year. I think we're covering somewhere in the range of 400,000 attributed to smoking alone. So, you know, it's definitely something we want to revisit. And some of these issues, even though they're overwhelming, they're hard to deal with, we still, every time we bring them up, hopefully it will encourage you not to, we don't really want to discourage you. We don't want to just put more guilt. Yeah,
that's
We don't want to lay more burdens on you. But at the same time, to be encouraged over and over again, maybe to give it another try. You know, we had some good insights last week. And one of the things I actually visited this week was trying to find where can you find a local, maybe a local support group. I think that can really be valuable for a lot of people. I did find nicotineanonymous.org. They do have local support groups. We'll make sure to put that link on there where you can actually go to your own state and find one. Now, they're not quite as abundant as maybe like an Alcoholics Anonymous or some of the different programs that are out there, the nationwide programs, but there were a number of them for each state, and so you should be able to find something. But if not, maybe you'll be encouraged to look online and see if you can find something else that's local for a support group for nicotine. Also found, you know, looked on some of the major websites like the government website. There seemed to be some good information there. If that's not your cup of tea, I actually did find another website that was kind of more of grassroots type. They're really animate about there's no other way to stop besides cold turkey. But they were really practical on how they approached that issue because cold turkey is just a tough issue to talk about and think about, well, what do I really have any support then? But they really covered it in such a way where it was really, really personal. It was really practical. And there was a lot of support that I felt like some of it was over the top, but I think you may find some of the information helpful. It was whyquit.com was one of the first things that came up when I searched for quitting smoking. But it seemed to have some good information, so that might be another try to see if you can find some more information that would help you out. I have to confess with this challenge, I actually failed part of it. So I did do some more research, try to find some more information on stopping smoking, but I didn't challenge anybody with that information, or I didn't present that information.
That's really hard.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the part of the issue here is really not pretending to know anything else and trying to love these people, trying to love somebody I know that smokes through this issue. It's difficult. It's very delicate to deal with it through information. And so sometimes just encouragement might be a stronger tool. If you do find you get in a conversation, you might be able to point out some of these references. So once again, I don't smoke personally. I have smoked throughout the past, but really not enough to get fully into it. But so I'm not really sure how this issue goes. And I have to confess, I don't really know where people are at. And I can't imagine how difficult that addiction is because of the fact that, you know, the companies that are putting the nicotine in there are also putting things in there to really heighten that addiction, as well as just the huge social aspect that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
The just the physical addiction, as well as the emotional addiction, as well as just the pattern addiction. You're just used to doing a certain thing after a certain time, and so that whyquit.com really talks about the fact that you think about it after you eat, you think about it, you know, during break time, you think about it, you know, mm-hmm. you know, you're constantly just, that's it's the natural instinct mm-hmm. is go right to that. So, and Kathy, you were really big on that American Cancer Society website.
I thought it had just a lot of information, including the psychological addiction, you know, to smoking. But I like what you said too, Joe, is that maybe for those that our loved ones, our friends, that we really would like to see them stop smoking, the best we can offer, you know, is certainly not condemnation, but it's just a support, and maybe, you know, asking them if they want to discuss it sometime or where they're at with it, or and just letting them know that you care and you want to help and be there for them.
Yeah, really trying to find out why is it difficult or how is it difficult, you know, really trying to explore that with them. And really just trying to get to the bare bones, not just assuming that they're lazy or they just don't want to.
Exactly.
But really trying to understand their whole situation. So I think that would really be helpful. I hope some of that information was beneficial. I hope you can get on the website and find some of those resources we posted in our notes page. But let's move on today. We're going to cover an issue that I think both of us are pretty hot on. And I think that just in general as a country, we're bringing more awareness of this. Especially as we rode up the, we kind of spent a lot of time in the past talking about fat, you know, and that's really shifted now to we eat a lot more carbohydrates than we used to as a society. We eat a lot less fat, which definitely is controversial as far as is that beneficial for us, because, you know, especially the weight gains we've seen in America in that time as well. But what we've seen is from that shift to fat to carbohydrates, there's been also the shift to sugar. And not maybe as much talk about sugar as we should have, talking about some of the negative side effects of sugar. We're not really going to go into the depth of that today. We want to really start scratching the surface on this issue because it, for us, I think it's really one of those issues that it's overwhelming how much we're eating of it, especially compared to 100 or 200 years ago.
Speaking of that, Joe, American Heart Association says now that the average American is eating 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
That's a one. I've seen upwards of 20% of our calories coming from sugar. Actually, I've seen some quotes are higher, but some of the more reliable ones, I've seen 20% of our calories from sugar. Yeah, and so that's just a pretty overwhelming standpoint of how much we're actually eating of this one ingredient. And so let's talk a little bit about some of the effects maybe of sugar in the body. We know that sugar definitely affects blood sugar, which are two different things. So I can eat sugar, goes into my body, and I can eventually turn it, my body eventually turns it into blood sugar. Well, the speed at which it does that is important because, you know, we hear about complex carbohydrates and that they're turned into sugars more slowly, and sugars are turned into faster into blood sugar, and that can affect long-term insulin resistance and diabetes and those type of things.
Yes, that's correct.
But at the same time, that's not a really complete picture, and it's not really helpful because there actually are some sugars that actually respond more like complex carbohydrates and more complex carbohydrates. Some complex carbohydrates that actually respond more like sugars. So in the case of something like agave, if you've ever heard of that, actually a sweetener that's safe for diabetics, it's natural. And that actually responds in the body really slowly as far as the uptake of the sugar and how your body converts it, as opposed to something like white flour, which actually, like white bread, that will be converted quickly into sugar.
Right.
So it's kind of an oxymoron. It's not really an easy issue. We're going to cover as much as we can today to kind of get into it a little bit. But one of the main things I really want to talk about today, and I think we're going to cover this as well throughout this podcast, is one of the things we're looking at is just empty calories, I think we can call it. Everybody calls it that. The fact that when we bring in food to our body, we want to at least have some kind of return on nutrients, some kind of return for that food. You know, calories is not our issue in America. We're definitely getting plenty of calories. We're not deficient in calories.
Sure.
And so the issue is not really how many calories are we getting today, but how many nutrients are following each calorie that we take into the body. And this is one of those issues that we're definitely going to find things like high fructose corn syrup and white sugar, mm-hmm. white refined sugar, table sugar, is not really going to have the mineral content and some of the other nutrient content that some of these other more natural sugars or more unrefined state sugars are going to have. And so one interesting thing I found, I did some research on this one time, just kind of used to work in a health food store and picked up one of the molasses bottles that were on the shelf and did a little bit of searching into, you know, what could I actually get out of molasses? And for those of you who don't know, molasses is the byproduct of sugar making. It's what they actually remove. And I found that molasses, a tablespoon of molasses, is a very significant source of iron. Depending on the type of molasses, they did find different molasses had different types, different amounts, but a significant source of iron, significant source of calcium and magnesium. And so these are minerals that we're definitely in America across the board pretty deficient in, depending on what numbers you look at, what stats you look at, what age groups we're looking at. Magnesium especially, I've seen more recently. Calcium, obviously, we know from some of the bone studies, the need for that. So this is one of the things, even if we're eating a lot of sugar, if at least the minerals we're following with, we'd have some kind of balance there, and that would actually work better to our advantage. So that's one of the main things I think we're looking at today is the fact that sugars not only are they going to have negative effects on blood sugar and, and some other effects that are not good for us because they're refined, but really it's the lack of the nutrients that could have been there.
That's right, Joe. And I think you can even go a step further and say that the refined sugar that we're intaking not only has empty calories, but it has negative effect on our body because it, you know, it fosters cancer, bone health. It'll affect bone health and a lot of different diseases. So
Yeah, it can actually use up some of our B vitamins and the way it works. And so in actually processing it, it can actually take away from the body. Yeah, so that's some really important information as well. And so one of the other things I found, and this is, we kind of covered this, you know, the 20% coming from refined sugar, the amount of calories we're actually taking in a day. There was some preliminary research done at Tufts University that talked about soda and sweetened beverages now being the number one source of calories in America.
Isn't that amazing?
That is just unbelievable. It used to be white flour. Well, it used to be white bread. Now it's kind of shifted over to this this soda and sweetened beverages. And it's just, there's so many downsides to that. You know, one of which is that in liquid form, sugars can enter the body a lot faster, having a much more negative effect. Besides that, they don't make us feel full. So you've just taken in, you know, for a 32-ounce beverage, a 32-ounce pop, you've just taken in 400 calories, and it didn't make you feel any fuller. And so now you can eat another 400 right at the same sitting and not really have affected your feeling of fullness, meaning you're ready to eat sooner again now later based on what you're eating. So very dangerous way to take in sugar, very dangerous from a lot of different standpoints. This is, once again, we're just scratching the surface here, but just very dangerous way to take in those types of calories. So besides that, soda is really the only food, I found this out as well, so far that's been linked to weight gain in clinical studies. So the only food so far. And you know, that's not to say that other foods aren't affecting weight gain, obviously.
I think it's a consumption is so large, you know, that
but to be able to isolate that out then and say that that definitely seems to be an indicator for weight gain, it's the only one. So that's definitely something we want to avoid. I'm not really going to talk about high fructose corn syrup necessarily in this podcast. Hopefully next podcast when we cover news and research, we'll cover a little bit more about high fructose corn syrup. I don't want to demonize that just yet, but let's just talk about the concept of added sugar today. A little bit about substitutes, like artificial sweeteners. Some people are like, hey, I just can avoid the calories by getting artificial sweeteners. Not necessarily the best way to go. I think we've seen from some of the track records of when we put artificial foods into our body, that doesn't always work out the way we think it's going to work out. It seems pretty black and white, right? You just put in less calories, it's going to work out better for you. But they haven't shown that across the board in all these different studies that they've done on diet pops, that they affect weight positively. They don't really show that. There's not really any really benefits that we're seeing so far with, with this. One study actually showed that I've seen, showed that diet pop increased your risk for metabolic syndrome. And we've talked about metabolic syndrome a little bit. But it, you know, it has to do with obesity and insulin resistance and high blood pressure and
high cholesterol.
Yeah, dyslipidemia, where your cholesterol levels are a little bit off. And so the real amazing thing about that study was that regular POP didn't increase the risk for metabolic syndrome. And so that's just an oxymoron. It doesn't seem to make sense at all. But once again, it's not really wise to put things in our body that weren't really designed to go there, I think, in some ways. And so just looking back over a track record as well, you know, saccharin, now people don't really know much about saccharin or don't see it much in the market, really is a carcinogen. You know, it's been shown to have carcinogenicity, if that's even a word.
It is now.
And then, you know, aspartame was the one that came after that pretty much and really broke through the market. Now is one of the main reasons why people call the FDA for as a food complaint. They've had any number of complaints made about headaches and number of neurological issues. There's been some research done on that now, and Russell Blaylock is a really good resource to talk about some of the neurotoxic effects of aspartame and some of the issues that can go along there. I'll let you explore that yourself. Now we have sucralose on the market, which some people would know as Splenda. I don't really have anything to say about the negative effects in studies and some of the things there, but the problem is I don't think there's enough good studies to show that it's safe. And I'm kind of tired at this point, especially with this sweetener issue, of being the guinea pig. So I think altogether I'm just going to leave that issue alone. Because, you know, like, prove I'm not safe. Well, prove you are safe first. You know, why should it be the other way around?
Right.
And we have to put all this work in later once we figure out, oh, it's on the market. Now we should figure out if it's safe or not. I'm not going to play that game anymore. So as far as that one goes, you know, I don't really have any information about Truvia yet. I guess I could look that up a little bit more. I haven't really done any research on that either. That seems to come from a natural source, but if it's coming through the major food companies, I'm probably going to need to research it before I have any opinion about it.
You bet.
So, you know, if those aren't real good alternatives, what maybe are some good alternatives, Kathy, that we can use to regular table sugar or high fructose corn syrup that we seem to be consuming and everything? What are some of the alternatives to those?
Well, I'd like to talk about those. I would like to say first, though, that any added sugar, whether it be a natural sugar, or hopefully it would be a natural sugar, really isn't the most optimum food to eat, a lot of. So you want to limit the amount of added sugar we eat and consume in any form, natural or not. But given that, you already mentioned that their molasses is one that has some health benefits. It has a lot of our minerals, such as calcium and iron and potassium and magnesium, that is good and healthy for us. So I would certainly say that especially blackstrap molasses would be a definite source of a good natural sugar. And it does have antioxidant capacity, too, that will aid in our immune support, et cetera. I think some studies have shown that honey, too, has antioxidant activity. It's also an antibacterial, and it contains vitamins B and 6, and it's a good source of iron. So that's an easy substitute for sugar because the flavor is kind of more mild than a molasses. I also think that maple sugar is another good source of a natural sugar. Does have antioxidants, also a good source of zinc and magnesium, manganese. And then the one other sugar that I'd like to mention is stevia, because it has gotten a lot of talk and reviews. And just in 2008, the FDA has pronounced that it's GRAS approved, which means that it's generally recognized as safe as for food consumption. So that's, I think, a real plus because it's a non-caloric, a non-glycemic, doesn't raise your blood sugar. It's natural. It comes from an herb, a plant that's been used for hundreds of years in China and different places. So, and it's many times stronger than sugar, so that you only need a small amount of it. And it's a great alternative, I think, like in just a tea or coffee or anything simple like that. So it's a really easy sweetener to use. So I think those are like some of the alternatives that are, you know, healthier. Like I said before, I think most of our good vitamins and minerals and should come from our and macronutrients from our fruits and vegetables and proteins that we consume. But I think again, Joe, you know, our whole podcast is geared towards no extreme measures, you know.
Right.
Let yourself enjoy
right
sweets, but do it maybe in a more healthy, natural alternative way and not make it your the thing they eat the most of.
Yeah. And if you're in the 80% category of Americans, you know, in the diets we're eating, you know, it's going to be a shocker in some ways to even start thinking about some of these things. But what we want you to do is start moving in this direction. Kathy, you have a great recipe. We're going to post this recipe on the website to make sure that you have access to that. But we really want to start moving you in that direction.
Yes.
It's not that you're just going to stop all of a sudden eating, you know, refined sugars. But this is, once again, first step is awareness. And so we're going to start you off in that road. This won't be the last podcast we'll have about sugar, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. We really want to start getting into this a little bit. You kind of had some information actually about how to replace refined sugars one step at a time.
Yes.
And you had a good resource for that.
Yep. There's a very good website that we're going to post. It's Weston Price website. There's an article there that kind of explains, you know, how to start weaning yourself off of refined sugar. And I think the number one thing that I gained from reading that article is that the first and foremost thing we need to think of is to really eat balanced meals and to eat them at regular intervals rather. Like don't skip breakfast, don't
right
skip lunch.
Right.
So many of us are on the go and we don't eat anything in the morning. Our blood sugar, you know, crashes and then we have to have something quick and then the cycle starts again for lunch. Because if you eat a candy bar or eat something with added sugar, even yogurt, you know, then by noontime you're going to crash again.
Right.
So it's just getting a good balance of a healthy protein, a good carbohydrate, and also essential fats.
Right. Yeah, and we're actually going to talk about this more in the next time we cover sugar probably, is like the crash craving cycle.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that if you don't do something regular on a regular basis to keep your blood sugar balanced,
right,
you're going to end up at this desperation point.
Yes.
You're going to want to do something that actually increases your blood sugar quickly. Will be a bad decision, will kind of catch you off guard, and will put you in a cycle all
that's
day,
right,
the rest of the day for some bad bad eating all
and
around.
And I know myself, Joe, I've eaten refined sugar many times just to get out of that crashing
right
cycle.
Yeah, and it seems like the only way out, actually, at that point. Because your brain doesn't burn fat like the rest of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, I don't think so. I need sugar right now.
Right.
You need to, like, get me back on track. Especially if you're at work and you're trying to think.
Exactly.
It's the only, and then, yeah, it really sets the tone for the rest of the day, though. So we want to bring some awareness to this issue this time.
Mm-hmm.
We want to put a health challenge out there, though. So this is really not about changing it. You don't, you know, when we put this health challenge out there, don't look at the food and then say, well, I can't eat it because of this. We just want you to be aware.
That's all.
So what we're going to do is this time, we want you to, once again, get familiar with your label. This time we're looking not at the ingredient list. We're not going to look there. We're actually going to look above there to where the actual grams of each macronutrient are.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, we're going to look under the carbohydrates, right to that sugar number.
Mm-hmm.
The grams of sugar, we want that to be less than a quarter of the total grams of whatever you're eating.
Yes.
So you'll need to go to the top of the label, and we'll actually talk about servings at the top there.
Mm-hmm.
And then right below that, we'll have some information about total grams. It may not be as obvious, but it will be in parentheses up near the top. And you'll see, obviously, it's more grams than anything else below there. So you
just
might
right
have it right
on that nutrition facts panel you're talking
right
about.
Right near the top there. So take that number, and there's two ways of doing this now.
Mm-hmm.
You can either divide the sugar number into that number, and you want it to then be less than 4. Or you can multiply the sugar number by 4, and you want that to be less than the total. So I hope this isn't confusing, but once again, looking to the sugar number, if you multiply that sugar number by 4, it should be less than the total grams of whatever the serving is that you're eating. Or vice versa, if you want to divide the sugar number into the total number, it should be less than 4. And so this is, once again, awareness. But if you see something with more than a quarter sugar, so that's 25% of whatever that food is, if it has more than that of sugar, consider it to be dessert, because it really is not going to be anything that's going to be substantial for you to be able to make sure you're getting the nutrients you need. Now, looking out for some of the sources like honey or something else that might be in there, if you're eating packaged foods, not as likely you'll find those things because they're not really low cost. That's the beauty of something like high fructose corn syrup is it can be in every single food and can add sugar to every single food because it's so inexpensive and it actually helps preserve. And, you know, obviously sugar does have some of those properties, but in processed food, you'll find it abundantly because it's so cheap, because of some of its properties. So you're likely to find, you know, sugar or high fructose corn syrup, not really a natural like honey. If you find honey, it's usually one of the last ingredients way down the list. So once again, take a look, just flipping that label around, read on that and see where you're at with the sugar levels. You don't want more than a quarter of it to be sugar.
A quarter of the grams.
A quarter of the grams total. You don't want it to be more than that in sugar. So that's the health challenge. Just be looking out. So that's our show for today.
Could I interrupt minute? Okay. I just want to go over that one more time just for my own benefit too, and maybe for someone out there that didn't quite get it. So you're saying that if we're going to eat a nutritional bar,
right?
We turn it over, we look at the amount of grams of the total bar.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then you look at the sugar grams.
Right.
Total sugars. And that total sugar has to be one quarter of the total grams of the bar.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And so if you see that that's the case, and this might be a little more confusing of a challenge because it's definitely going to involve like every food you're eating. You'll be looking at all these things and saying, oh, the general thing here is they'll get a general sense of how often how that that is happening. And you'll see sometimes they're a little easier, like you'll have 5 grams of sugar and 20 total grams.
Right.
The math will be a little easier. Sometimes it's like, well, let me get the calculator out and do it that way. But but at least, you know, like for at least 20% of the time, if you can get that, we'd like to have you look at all the things you're eating. But just to get a general sense, I think this is one of those things we hear about sugar and we know about pop. We know about cookies and candies and cakes. But we're not really aware that we're eating dessert and those type of things all the time. And it's really, it just has invaded every single one of our foods. And so that's really the challenge, I think, this week is bringing awareness to the fact that we're not realizing that most of the things we're eating are desserty. Right. They just have all this, all this extra sugar. So I hope that was helpful today for any notes. And hopefully we'll even put some more notes on here to help you with this challenge. On the website, www.oathealth.com/blog/podcast. Thanks a lot, Kathy.
Thank you, Joe.
And we'll see you guys next time.